And many times, even in the confines of our own world here in America, where we're so blessed, where we have motor cars and food and ball games and family, and we can actually go and sit on our deck. I told my son the other day, he said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm sitting on my deck drinking a cup of coffee." He said, "Dad, don't ever take something so simple as that for granted. Where I am right now, you don't sit on your deck and drink coffee." I mean, come on, I'm just having a cup of coffee. He saw the plight of his people. Do you and I really see the plight of precious people around us?
God has an encouraging word for you and me today from the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton about the influence of one person. The encouraging word. Just what can one woman, one man do for a nation? A great deal as we open God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilton. We'll do that in just a few moments, but we want you to know that we're connecting right now keyboard to keyboard on our website, theencouragingword.org. A great place to catch up with all the messages from Dr. Wilton. Also a place to get connected with our daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide and a number of other resources, especially right now about what it is to take a stand in the world in which we live. Also know we'd love to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We're here for you 24 hours a day. And now today's message from Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging
Word. Our nation is in trouble. We are in trouble. We are a blessed people. We really are blessed. Talking to my son who's overseas, you know, you're just reminded of how blessed we are. God has done some incredible things related to America, but people are hurting. Have you noticed that? In fact, you may be one of those people. I have no doubt. The statisticians are telling us that more marriages are breaking up than ever before. People are looking for meaning and purpose in life. People are trying to find the answers. It's a big search. We have the things, obviously, that we deal with, debt crises and problems in Washington, being able to pay our bills. We've got a moral decline in America like never before. But I've got such good news for you today. There is hope. I wish that I could come and sit next to each one of you today and just tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me in my own life. Like you, I am very undeserving of God's grace. When you talk about hope and you talk about the hope that we have in Christ, we're talking about the fact that Jesus Christ can and will and wants to forgive us for our sin. That's what hope means. It means you can be forgiven of your sin. And all of us have sinned. Everyone. All of us. Hope means that you can live a changed life, a really meaningful life. I'm so grateful. Hope means not only that you can be forgiven of your sin, not only that you can be a changed person, that you can live a full and a meaningful life. You can have real purpose in your life. But hope in Christ means that you can actually know for certain that you're going to go to heaven one day. A lot of people are dying every day, friends and family, and all of us are going to face death. But when you have hope in Christ, you can know that you're going to go to heaven to be with Him forever. It's an absolute certainty, which is why you can trust Him as your Savior. And today, God has spoken to me through somebody a few years ago, long before I was born, a fellow by the name of Moses. Moses lived a long, long time ago. And God's story tells us about how one man brought hope to an entire nation of people. How one man made a difference. Just one person. I believe you and I are those people. God has used Dr. Billy Graham for decades all around the world. Hundreds of thousands of people have hope because God used one man to share that message. God has used me in little ways and sometimes not so little ways, maybe not ever on the grand scale of some people that I know, like Dr. Billy Graham and others, but God uses me and God uses you. God used people in my life to share the message of hope, and my life today is completely different. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. And I want you to open to Exodus chapter 2. We're actually going to be starting in Exodus chapter 1. This goes all the way from Exodus chapter 1 through Exodus chapter 16, the passage, the sphere that we're looking at in God's story. But for our consideration for these next few moments, I want to actually begin in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. I'm praying that you would give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to say yes to Jesus. And having done so, I'm going to pray that God would use you like He used Moses. God has always used men and women to bring the message of hope to a world that's searching for peace and for meaning. And something happened in the life of this man Moses. So I'm going to read a few select verses. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and he looked upon their burdens. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to Moses out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Let's go to chapter 4, just one verse. Verse 17, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 17. This is God speaking. "Take in your hand this rod with which you shall do great things for me. Take in your hand this staff with which you shall carry the very signs of who I am." All right, let's turn next to chapter 6. One verse again. Now remember, God had now called Moses and he said yes, and he suddenly was faced with the reality that he had to deal with Pharaoh. And Moses, like you and me, felt very unqualified for the job. In fact, I'm going to submit to you, he probably had more jitterbugs than all of us combined. Have you ever felt nervous when someone said, "Why don't you go and invite someone to come and to hear about the hope that we have in Christ?" Have you ever felt nervous when someone said, "Why don't you go and tell someone about Jesus?" Now, I don't mind half as much going to invite someone to go to a ball game. But boy, those jitterbugs can come when you go and tell someone about Jesus. But I'm just going to tell you, in case any of you are a little nervous, Pharaoh had the power to lop his head off. All people can say to us today is, "No, I don't want to." And so we get to verse 30 of chapter 6. "But Moses said to the Lord, 'Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How in the world will Pharaoh listen to me?'" Let's go to chapter 8. Chapter 8, love this verse, chapter 8 and verse 30. Chapter 8 and verse 30. "So Moses went out from Pharaoh." You're not going to believe this. Oh, I better read it. "So Moses went out from Pharaoh," and what did he do? Someone tell me. What did he do? Prayed. He prayed to the Lord. One more verse. Verse chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 31. Chapter 14 and verse 31. I've had to put a circle around all these verses so I could get there quickly. Chapter 14 and verse 31. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. May the Lord write this word upon our hearts. Please be seated. You know, when you study history, it's amazing how just one person can lead an entire nation. I hate to bring this up to you, but do any of you remember Adolf Hitler? You might have read about him. Just one man. Do you know that he was just a lowly corporal coming out of World War I? He was really a nobody. And within a very short space of time, he led an entire nation. And we know what the history books tell us. Ever heard about Napoleon Bonaparte? You know, about 1800, 1806, 1815, of course, he met his Waterloo. And Nelson took care of him, and he was banished to the island of Elba and all the rest of it, but he was just one man. Do you remember Saddam Hussein? Just one man. But you know something, folks, if you go and you look at what one person does, you know, I'm so grateful in our nation. You know, I think of all the great people and the heroes, what one person can do. Do you know we've got people all around us that are dying? You know that there are people whose marriages are falling apart, children looking everywhere. Do you know that people are searching and hurting? We're in a quagmire. Do you know what's going on around us, folks? You do, because you and I are in it. Moses, this one man, this story of deliverance, God used this man. And the question that I asked concerning this man was a very simple question in many ways. Very simple question. I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you could have used Moses like this to give an entire nation such hope in the midst of such hopelessness, could you possibly use me in my neighborhood? Lord, is there something that I could do? What is it about Moses? And God began to speak to my heart. So what did Moses do? Here's what Moses did. Number one, he said yes to God. Any further questions? You know, I love that passage that I read to you in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus. I would have given anything to have been there. Now, his was sort of dramatic. It was just amazing. Here's Moses out in the wilderness, and God confronts him. And God says to him, Moses, excuse me, I'm talking to you. I've got a plan for you. It was an extraordinary plan because these people had been locked in their pitiful condition for over 400 years. They were really battling. If you wanted to describe a people without hope, I'm sure that it would have been the children of Israel at this time. And I'm not going to get into all the background, but all of a sudden God came to one person and said, you're that person. And he said, yes, Lord, here I am. Being used of the Lord begins with a very, very simple act of obedience. It's not profound. It's just simply a total capitulation. It's just when you say, here I am, Lord. By the way, I don't think even Moses fully understood what he was about to get into. If you asked him and said to him, Moses, now you know you're going to have to cross over a raging sea, and you know you're going to be leading a people who will be starving to death, and they won't have anything to drink, and do you know they're going to encounter the enemy at every turn, and do you know that they are going to battle in every walk of life? God didn't put all that in front of him. He just said to him, Moses, would you be prepared if I chose you to be the messenger of hope? It's amazing what God can do with one life committed to the Lord. What did Moses do? He said yes. What did Moses do? Number two, he saw the plight of his people. I'm going back again because I want to go back to the beginning. In chapter 2, I read about it one day when Moses was grown up. Now, by the way, can I just say this to you folks? I think this is important in our Bible study. This happened when Moses was grown up, which means that Moses spent the better part of his early years not fully aware of the plight of the people. Do you know that you and I can spend years and years and years and years and years being among a people and never truly understanding the battle that is going on? Maybe the reason is because we're so blessed like Moses was. Do you know, someone said to me, the more you have, the more difficult it is to really be concerned about those who don't have. I often wonder, I'm not trying to indict us as a people, folks. Please don't think I'm saying that. But why don't you come with me to India or to Africa or to most parts of South America? Do you know that when you go to some of these nations in the world, you don't even have to hardly make an announcement that you're bringing them the hope of Christ. Just stand and start speaking, and they come by their hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. Have you ever wondered why it just seems to be a lot more difficult in America? Have you ever wondered why you can go to a place like China, of all places? China. Do you know that there are hundreds of thousands of people who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in China, where they persecute people for their faith? And the prayer meetings and the power of God, and many times even in the confines of our own world here in America, where we're so blessed, where we have motor cars and food and ball games and family, and we can actually go and sit on our deck. I told my son the other day, he said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm sitting on my deck drinking a cup of coffee." He said, "Dad, don't ever take something so simple as that for granted. Where I am right now, you don't sit on your deck and drink coffee." I mean, come on, I'm just having a cup of coffee. He saw the plight of his people. Do you and I really see the plight of precious people around us?
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. There's more of his great teaching coming up in just a moment, so please don't go away. But he insists I remind you that this is, again, a conversation. It's not just a presentation. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know specifically how to pray for you and pray with you about what's going on in your life. We're here to encourage you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. I pray you would jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. In this day and age, it's revolutionary what we can do with the piece of equipment in our hands that we text and surf the net with and actually have a conversation with someone to pray with us and for us. That's what we stand ready to do at 866-899-WORD, or we can get connected online as well at theencouragingword.org. It's also the place to find ways to watch Dr. Wilton, whether it's watching him online or tonight. Don't forget, TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, will broadcast the Encouraging Word message from Dr. Wilton at 6:30 p.m. I hope you'll join us then. Now back to today's message, what one man, what one woman can do for a nation.
You see, right now you've got that father in your heart, haven't you? Your mother, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter. Moses said yes. Number two, he saw the plight of these people. Number three, he knew who had the hope. I love when you get to chapter 4 and that amazing statement there where God looks at Moses, and I love the story. And when you read the story here, here's Moses standing with this rod in his hand. God says, "Throw it down." When he throws it down, it turns into a hissing snake. And what God was saying to him, "Moses, do you see what you've got in your hand? You think it's your stick. You think it's everything you've got. All it is a hissing snake. Now, I want you to pick it up, having said yes to me, having seen the plight of the people, and I want you to pick it up. And the moment when you pick it up, you will know that I am God, and I am the one who has the hope to give. Not you. I'm just going to use you. Just carry my stick." Oh, Moses knew who had the hope. It's only about Jesus, because it is Jesus Christ who is the hope of the world. Somebody in this place say amen. Amen. Jesus Christ. What did Moses do? Number four, he did not underestimate the opposition. Chapter 6 and verse 30. Let me tell you, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's court. He knew how powerful Pharaoh was. He knew Pharaoh didn't like little Christian people. You didn't have to go to Moses and say to him, Moses, you know, I want you to know, do you really think you're going to have a little walk in the park? So, beloved friends, I want you to listen. Genesis, listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to what God's saying. As your pastor, I'm going to stand here today and I'm going to say to you, when you say yes and when you see the plight of our people and when you know and accept the fact that God is the one who carries in His sovereign heart of grace all that is necessary for us to have forgiveness of sin and to be completely changed and to be born again and to have a full and meaningful life and to go to heaven to be with Him forever. When you and I come to the point at which we know these things, don't underestimate the opposition. I'm not going to join whoever it might be that says just fall out of bed and go and invite people to come. There will even be some people who don't like it that you invite them to come. There are people in our country, folks, you won't believe this, who actually are very angry that we even dare to pray in our schools and pray in our stadiums. And thank God, this God in whom we trust, we are in a nation where people are becoming livid at the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to tell you that there won't be opposition. Oh, but I love number five. What did Moses do? He took prayer seriously. Chapter 8 and verse 30, he went and prayed. I don't even know that I need to preach on that point, do I? Without prayer, it's not going to happen. God inhabits our prayer. There's our power source. God calls us to pray. Talk to the Lord about it. Number six, he watched God give hope. And the rest of the story about the deliverance of the children of Israel is time without number and time without number. As they crossed seas, as they walked through valleys and forded mountaintops, as they lost and won in battle, as they starved one minute and were filled up the next minute, as they had nothing to drink, as they grumbled, as they had the questions that all people have. Moses watched God do His work. You and I can do this. We can do this. This is my hope. This is our time. Moses is long gone. This is our time. This is where God has placed us, and you can do it. It's time. I want to invite you to give your life to Christ. I know some of you may look at me and say, well, you know, you're the pastor, and you know, friend, I'm just like you. We all have different roles in life, but I too am a sinner saved only by God's grace. Are you far from God? Why don't you come to Him? Give your life to Him. Trust Him. You know, for those of you that know and love the Lord Jesus, God is doing a great work because He's the one who gives us our hope. This is my hope. It's your hope. You've heard me say, I'm sure, from time to time, what Jesus has done for me, He will do exactly the same thing for you. And yeah, the Lord uses people like Dr. Billy Graham, but it's actually not about Dr. Graham. And he's the first one to say that. It's all about the Lord. And God is doing a great work. Father, worshipers everywhere right now, people who find themselves in your presence are giving their hearts and lives to you. I pray this morning that many would be saved, would know what it means to be truly forgiven. We find that so hard to understand, Lord, because we've sinned against you, and yet you take our sin away from us because of Jesus. You make us as white as snow. You throw our sin away and you remember it no more. We thank you for that. You make us brand new. You change us. Husbands become different, and wives, and sons and daughters, there's just something different. When Christ comes into our hearts, all of a sudden we have real meaning and real purpose because we have real hope. Lord, I pray today, and I know hundreds are praying with me right now, that those of us who know, Lord, we could never be Moses, but Lord, right here in our own world, we can see the nation around us. Use us, Lord Jesus, to be instruments in your hands for our neighbors and our friends and the people who work with us and at school, just everywhere. Lord, just show us your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And that hope is in Jesus. Our pastor's got a closing thought in just a moment. Before we get away, though, I pray you would jot this number down and know if you'd like to talk with someone, if you'd like to discover more about the hope of Jesus Christ, we're here for you. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now those closing thoughts from Dr. Wilton.
You know, every single time I get up and have the privilege of being able to share God's Word with you, I pray for you. And I ask God to allow me to see you through my spiritual heart, because I know how much God loves you. I just want you to know that it means a great deal to me that you would write to me, that you would allow us to partner together. Your life is important. It's important, first of all, to the Lord Jesus, every step of every day. But it's also important to me because I'm part of your family. We are part of the family of God. So God bless you, my friend, and thank you for letting me pray for you.
I'm so honored I can write you and be a part of the Encouraging Word each Sunday. Thank you with all of my heart. I'm a disabled widow and can't attend my local church. I've been watching you for a long time and receive awesome blessings from your sermons, and I love to sing along with the congregation and the choir. I especially am thankful you mentioned those of us watching by television, making us feel a part of your church family, even though we can't physically be present. Thank you so very much for the love and consideration you show to everyone. God bless you, Dr. Wilton. Your ministry gives me the strength to go on when I'm very discouraged because I live alone and hardly get out.
That number again is 866-899-WORD. 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us ready to talk or pray and listen, maybe connect with resources that'll help you grow, not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. And of course, we'd love to meet you online as well at theencouragingword.org.